Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, the love that underlies the happenings of the time. Before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust, and Lucis Trust sponsors this show. Alice Bailey also wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. Love is the wielding of the force which guides the worlds, and which leads to the integration, unity, and inclusiveness, which impels deity itself to action. The books of Alice Bailey speak of, quote, the love that underlies the happenings of the time. How can we be sure that love really does underlie the happenings of the time? Do you have any evidence for that?
Well, yes and no. It is a puzzling phrase when you first hear it, the love that underlies the happenings of the time, because we're so inundated by the media telling us what's going on in the world, and that's good. And we know so much now that 100 years ago people weren't aware of. We're aware of all the disasters, all the latest scandals, all the sort of manufactured gossipy kinds of problems that happen to personalities, but also the big issues, the wars and conflicts and so on, the poverty, Darfur, the tragedy in Myanmar, and the earthquake in China. And knowing all this, hearing about it incessantly, you might find yourself wondering, well, where is the love that underlies the happenings of the time if there are so many people suffering on such a scale? But the ageless wisdom says that love is not only a pleasant quality, it's a basic conditioning energy that drives the worlds. And it's a power. Religion, I think, has always understood this because it said that God himself is love. But that doesn't necessarily mean the same thing as the warm and fuzzy feeling we get when we look at a pussycat. Love is an energy, it's a power, and it works out sometimes through conflict, through struggle, through the production of cleavages. And I think what we want to do in this program today is to highlight some of the ways that love works through what initially we might call difficulty and even suffering, but it accomplishes its ends through conflict, through struggle, through choice, and giving up.
Yes, it's probably because of so much of the struggle and the conflict that we see in the world today and that we've experienced, especially in the past 100 years, that it's really kind of turned off by conflict, and we're looking for different ways, new ways of approaching these same old problems, which come down to right relationship, really. and where right relationships have been built by the energy of goodwill, which is the lower expression of love, then we do see a lot of change, positive change coming about in very positive ways, and a lot of growth in harmony in the world.
But I'd like to put in a word for conflict.
Well, all right.
It's one of the part of one of the seven rays that we've discussed on this program. The seven manifestations of divinity are the seven rays, and the fourth ray is the ray of harmony through conflict. And it's a basic principle of the universe, the principle of conflict, that does something very necessary. It's, you could sort of say it's the vacuum cleaner or the cow catcher of God's plan, because it clears away the obstructions on the outer level of form, on the material level. Conflict is an experience or a clashing of forces that demands choice and discrimination. And this is what makes it a spiritual principle. Because Alice Bailey said the principle of conflict in every atom of substance is that which produces, first of all, conflict, then renunciation, and finally emancipation. So it's the prime factor that galvanizes evolution on every level, from the minutest particle of matter to a human being, to a master of the wisdom. Why that so is a mystery, but we have some clues.
Well, I think maybe part of the problem is our definition of love. You know, we tend to look at love as a very personal thing and define it in those terms, but really the love that underlies the happenings of the time has to do with the great divine love of God, and that is a completely different kind of power altogether. It is it's not that warm and fuzzy love that you were just mentioning. It has to do with the love that is far-seeing wisdom, and a love that underlies, that is guarding and stimulating and protective, as it says in one of the Bailey writings. It's a positive, protective kind of love or energy. And so this is sort of a different approach to the whole idea of love that I've seen it in near-death experiences, for example. People who have had near-death experiences, one of the first things they mention, all of them seem to mention that, is that the minute they're outside the body, they feel this presence of love. It's a great protective kind of love that they're, it's a kind of an atmosphere, and they feel very protected there. Even though they are not in that familiar body, they're out somewhere outside of it, but there is that protective field of love, and that is that great divine energy of the soul that is always present.
Maybe the very fact that they are momentarily released from their physical body is what makes them able to experience that sense of the guarding power of love. Isn't it probably true that the separation that is induced by our inhabiting a physical body separate from all other physical bodies probably fosters barriers in our consciousness that lead us to think we are separated, isolated islands, remote from all other human islands? Mm. And this is the essential problem, that we think we are all living separately and have separate existences, almost separate universes. And we probably can all think of people who do live their lives as if they are a universe unto themselves. And they suffer deeply. Even as they are difficult to live with and be with, they suffer.
Right, and that's because, initially it's because we are all inhabiting these physical bodies, which do separate us from other people. And it's inevitable that we think that way at first. But it's really getting back to the roots of the soul, and back to the soul, the inner self, and that's where you'll rediscover, so to speak, the great divine love that is right there on the inner planes.
Yes, I think we shut it off. We wall ourselves off from it by the force of our ego and our independent identities, or what we think are independent identities, for a very long time on the evolutionary path. Each human being develops a stronger and stronger sense of himself as a separated self, as a unique identity. And this has its necessary part in the evolution of the soul. The consciousness of being a self naturally passes through the stage of being under the illusion that we are separate from all other selves, but it also creates the walls that shut us off from our fellow human beings and from the divinity, the divine life in which we are all particles or atoms, you could say. So the love that underlies the happenings of the time is more apparent when we gain freedom from our separated selfish egos. And sometimes a trauma or a crisis like an out-of-the-body experience will do it.
Yes, there is a mantra that we use at the Lucis Trust that's... it's a very beautiful mantra. It's called the Mantra of Unification. And it's in this mantra that the line comes from that we use in the opening thought today, the love that underlies the happenings of the time. And do we want to read that, the whole mantra? Why don't we read that? And
maybe we should say initially the first line refers to men. This is always a problem with people who are very conscious of gender in language today. The Ageless Wisdom uses the word men and man in the sense of its Sanskrit word root, which is manas, meaning one who thinks, and that includes people of both genders, male and female. We are all capable of thinking, so the opening line refers to men, but it means the thinking entity, which is a human being. And it begins, "The sons of men are one, and I am one with them. I seek to love, not hate. I seek to serve, and not exact due service. I seek to heal, not hurt.
Let pain bring due reward of light and love. Let the soul control the outer form, and life, and all events, and bring to light the love that underlies the happenings of the time.
Let vision come and insight. Let the future stand revealed. Let inner union demonstrate and outer cleavages be gone. Let love prevail. Let all men love."
And that is called the Mantra of Unification. And we're going to offer that for anyone who wants a copy of that. So, Robert, why don't you tell us how to get it?
Well, for those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, and our topic for today, the love that underlies the happenings of the time. And what Dale and Sarah are referring to is a free offer from Inner Sight, and the free offer is the Mantra of Unification. It's printed on a 3x5-inch card together with a leaflet with more information on the plant. So if you'd like that, if you'd like the Mantra of Unification, it's I think also what I've done is I've read it over and over again, and what I've found astounding is that the more you read it, the more deeply it gets into your subconscious, and it becomes more meaningful with each reading. That's what I've found, and let's see if you find the same thing. And when I say it's a free offer, I mean absolutely for free. There are no strings attached. There's no shipping charge. All you really need to do is call us up and ask for the card. It's a 3x5-inch card. The entire Mantra of Unification is what Dale and Sarah have just read to you over the air. Once again, ask for the Mantra of Unification, and we'll be happy to send it out to you absolutely free of charge. Give us a call at our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. That's, once again, it's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. That's 1-866. Think of New York LUCIS. LUCIS is L-U-C-I-S. And I dislike having to make this request over and over again. These are very bad economic times, and because of how many of you have risen to our need, and you've kept us on the air longer than we thought we'd be, but we're certainly not out of the woods yet. We have a big problem with paying for these shows, and in the past we've had lesser of a problem because I think you guys were doing a lot better, and you had less of a problem with money, and you were able to give more, and we certainly understand if anyone out there has a difficulty in giving and donating to this show. But that's the only way we're going to stay on the air, so if you continue donating, maybe we can get enough together to contract for a good solid year instead of what we're doing week by week right now. So if you do enjoy these shows, as we enjoy doing them for you, please send your tax-deductible donations to LUCIS Trust. Once again, LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S, LUCIS Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's LUCIS Trust. Donations can be sent to LUCIS Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Regardless of what happens, we certainly appreciate the support you've given us. I think we've learned a lot spiritually from you, because we've had so many nice letters sent into us, and people who add to what we've done on the air, what Sarah and Dale have done actually on the air. So we've thoroughly enjoyed our interaction with you. So if you can donate, if you don't, well, we certainly understand. Our dream would be to find someone who would be a an underwriter, maybe some big corporation. It would certainly be a great tax write-off, and for as long as this show would remain on the air, we'd certainly mention the name of the underwriter, and we would certainly be very thankful, very appreciative of such an occurrence, should it occur. That would be an underwriter to underwrite the whole show. If you know of such a person, or if there's somebody out there who might consider doing it, we'd certainly appreciate hearing from you. And this way we won't have to ask for donations every week. It takes time away from our talents, Sarah and Dale. So one more thing for all of you is that all of our Inner Sight programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org. On the home page, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. www.lucistrust.org. I was looking at the opening quotation today, and one word here in the quotation taken from the works of Alice Bailey that might have gotten past people is the following. In the beginning of the quotation, well, I'll say the whole quotation again in case people out there might have missed it. Love is the wielding of the force which guides the worlds and which leads to the integration, unity, and inclusiveness which impels deity itself into action. Now, we have plural, the word worlds. Is that a misprint, or does Alice Bailey mean love is the force that guides the worlds, plural?
Well, I think it's not a misprint. In this case, I would interpret it as referring to the different planes of existence. It's said in the Ageless Wisdom that there are seven planes on the cosmic level, and then within each of those planes, there are seven subplanes. And the world as we know it, the universe as we human beings know it, is only probably three subplanes of the lowest of the seven cosmic planes. So that should give us humility if nothing else does.
Making me feel humble right now.
The whole point of the spiritual evolution that leads to becoming a master is the effort to open up consciousness to become aware of the fourth and fifth subplane of the seventh plane, speaking in a cosmic sense. most human beings, according to the Ageless Wisdom, are functioning on the physical and the emotional subplanes. Some are awakening to the mental plane. Even within that mental subplane, there are seven more subplanes that span from the most concrete-minded aspects of intelligence to the more abstract and sublime, you could say, aspects of the mental plane. So when she says worlds, she's referring to this diverse and panoramic span of consciousness.
I see.
I'd like to come back to one of my favorite topics, which is conflict.
Oh, well,
being so familiar with it.
Conflict can cause, from what I've learned so far in the past shows, conflict can be a cause or a stimulation of spiritual evolvement.
Absolutely. And humanity itself is governed by the fourth ray of harmony through conflict, we're told. So all of us are very familiar with it. And to me, an understanding of the role of conflict in spiritual evolution is one major revealer of the underlying love with which and for which the worlds were created. Alice Bailey points out that conflict is a spiritual gift, you could say, because it forces the development of the capacity for discrimination. And she says that this capacity to discriminate is present even within the smallest atom of substance. I had to read that sentence three times to even get a glimmer of what she could mean.
I wish you'd say it more, three more times, because I'm trying to assimilate this.
She says that discrimination is a capacity that exists within even the smallest, most insignificant atom of substance, the capacity to discriminate, to tell this from that, to distinguish, to discern difference.
Desirable from undesirable?
Yes. If you want to use emotional terms, if you think of a little amoeba or some little jellyfish or some little very simple-celled organism, they react in a physical way when prodded and poked and when conditions become unfavorable. I suppose, though, that that's an example of even a very simple organism being able to discriminate something pleasurable from something not pleasurable.
Well, that's amazing. So you're saying even a one-celled animal recoils from ego threats.
That's what Alice Bailey says.
Yeah.
And that capacity to discriminate, she says, reaches its fullest expression in the advanced human being, when the mind is really awakened and razor sharp, we could say. We can think of intellectuals with very well-developed minds who are exceedingly intelligent, but also sometimes deeply separative in their capacity to judge and discriminate and sometimes condemn and use the mind like a razor blade. But even beyond that, that same capacity is deeply good because it propels the human being on toward that which is finer and better. And it fosters the willingness to renounce, she says. The ability to renounce is what eventually leads to becoming a master of the wisdom, to give up the lesser for the greater. All of this springs out of the principle of conflict, which is a tool, we could say, of divine love, a spur.
Yes, and behind all of that, that conflict is this great energy of love, wisdom. That's called the second ray of love, wisdom. This is also a conditioning ray for the human race, because it conditions everything on the planet. It is the major ray of the entire planet. So that's why God is in this great cycle in which this planet is developing. This is why God is a God of love, because he is working through this and under the influence of the second ray of love, wisdom, which affects the entire solar system, in fact, according to what the writings of Alice Bailey say. So it is a universal quality that conditions everything within that is being created in the world. And the discriminative abilities of the units of human units of consciousness here have to learn to use that discrimination in a loving way, and until it does, that's there will be the conflict, and that's part of the responsibility of the mind, the human mind, to work around that, to work through it.
There's a an interesting statement in the writings of Alice Bailey related to the power of goodwill, which is an expression of love, to reveal cleavages. And that might also take us by surprise. Goodwill reveals cleavages. But again, the revelation of the cleavage is necessary before the difference can be resolved, integrated. And I think we see this working out in the world now. We're more aware of cleavages and more bothered by them than perhaps 100 years ago or 200 years ago. Look at how much energy is focused on the Middle East and the conflict there, and how much effort is going into finding some way to bridge those differences. That, to me, is a prime example of something underway that is propelled by the divine power of love, and it's working out in painful, sometimes bloody ways, but it will be human intelligence and the human will to good that will figure out a way to bridge the differences. It can't be done for us.
No, and this is where the energy of goodwill comes into play, because this is the energy that that human beings can understand. This is about the most that the human beings can understand is in terms of love, is the energy of goodwill and the expressing of goodwill, using goodwill to build those relationships that are much needed in the Middle East.
Please take advantage of a free offer from Inner Sight. And the free offer is about what we spoke earlier about, and that was the Mantram of Unification. The Mantram of Unification is printed on a 3x5-inch card, together with a leaflet with more information on the plan. Well, what I might say is, if you're going to order this card, if you can't remember the entire phrase, just say the card on unification. That'll get through to us. So give us a call on our toll-free number if you want that card, the Mantram of Unification, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Thank you.